Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and this week's topic is vitamin D's health superpowers beyond calcium absorption. So I really want to show you the benefits of maintaining an optimal or at least sufficient vitamin D level, and really kind of understand how it impacts your health in multiple ways. So I think as we dig through the different pieces of this, you'll get to see that vitamin D is way more than just improving your bone health and helping you have strong bones late in life. There's way more to it, as you will soon see. So why is vitamin D important? In addition to being a nutrient, vitamin D, so it's a fat-soluble vitamin. So in addition to it being this fat-soluble vitamin, it is also a hormone that our bodies produce. And the cool thing is that we have the ability to make this. It's just not everybody can make it sufficiently and equally. So some of us do a better job and will need zero supplementation. Your body is capable of doing a better job. And then other people's body, what I'm meaning to clarify that is that other people's genetics impair their ability to make this optimally. Vitamin D acts more as a messenger than as a participant in metabolism. So potentially really influencing everything from weight to organ function. So it's has some deep roots in how it impacts so many areas of health. So it uses this fat-soluble vitamin to absorb and retain calcium and phosphorus. And those are super important, of course, for bone health. But also those are things that your body utilizes for other aspects as well. But research has shown that vitamin D can decrease cancer cell growth, control infections, and reduce inflammation in laboratory studies. And researchers are also actively exploring other possible vitamin D functions, which may play an important role way beyond bone health. So unlocking vitamin D's multifaceted roles. Now, this many people have recognized this as the sunshine vitamin. And it really does. And vitamin D is made from your skin being contacted by sunshine. So that is a very true description, or a good description, of vitamin D, because having our skin exposed to sunshine really starts that process of your body making or having that available in an inactive form that then has to activate it. So let's dive into these areas that vitamin D has some superpowers. And one is boosting the immune system. And as all of us have realized the importance of a strong immune system with COVID-19, we have it came to the forefront into a spotlight of the importance of having a robust immune system to protect you for crazy things like COVID-19. But studies have shown that vitamin D triggers your immune cells that can fight infections. So it's one of those things that if you have a low vitamin D, then your ability to fight infections are going to be lowered. So you're not going to have the ability to really lower or really fight off the infections like someone who has an adequate vitamin D level. Now, vitamin D levels have been linked to a lower risk of respiratory infections, autoimmune disorders, and certain types of cancers. So, one study shows that vitamin D modulates both adaptive and innate immune systems through signaling. Number two is enhancing musculoskeletal health. So, although we know vitamin D is recognized as a vital component for bone health, it also plays an important role in maintaining your musculoskeletal health. And think of this as it aids in the development of strong muscles, coordination, and balance. So all of those are tied together in your musculoskeletal health. So a healthy vitamin D level reduces the risks of falls and fractures. So as we age, we need to make sure that our vitamin D levels are at optimal numbers so that we can protect ourselves. Think of it as more of in a prevention mindset or in a preventive or protective way of viewing health. And I think that's an important thing to consider. You know, right now, healthcare's model is more of sick care. You know, they wait till you get sick before they do things. They don't really educate you on how to prevent or protect you from getting to that place, right? So that's where registered dietitians are really great at, because we can truly help you slow the progression, put things in remission, just by making diet and lifestyle changes. So vitamin D is one way, and this is our wheelhouse. Vitamins, food is just full of vitamins and minerals, phytonutrients, antioxidants. That's our wheelhouse. So I always find it interesting why everyone goes to their physician for advice on these vitamins and minerals and diets when dietitians are the one who's had 5 years of experience, 4 years of undergrad. Well, actually, now it's going to be a master's. You have to have a master's. I'm thankfully grandfathered in that I don't have to get a master's now, you know, 27 years later. But this is really an area that we can shine. So if you have questions about where certain vitamin levels are, your registered dietitian is your best resource. So start talking to your dietitian. If you don't have one, hire someone like myself and let's dig in and figure out what vitamin levels are out of range and what we need to do to support it so that you can actually have optimal health. Because our bodies fuel off of vitamins and minerals and carbohydrates, proteins, fibers, fats, all of those things that food provides. So it's not just about taking supplements, but it's truly about getting as much from your diet and your lifestyle as possible and then adding the supplements. So I'm not opposed to supplements. I think they are a great option, but I think we jump into them really quickly with people in general, because I think as a culture, we have this mindset as a pill to fix any type of ill, or, you know, anytime we feel bad, we need a pill to fix it. When in essence, maybe you're just dehydrated. Maybe you have a low iron, or maybe you have a low protein. Those are things that present as medical symptoms. So again, I guess I'm kind of getting off track here, but in general, you know, having the vitamin D level in optimal reference ranges really does protect you for future problems. So a 2018 study in the Journal of Academy and Orthopedic Surgeons reported that vitamin D plays an important role in muscle strength. So in your ability to grow those muscle cells. So additionally, if you don't have enough vitamin D, you're more likely to have weak muscles, which will increase your risk of falling, particularly in older people. And vitamin D may improve muscle strength, preventing falls, and a problem that causes substantial disability and death among older people. So again, that's, you know, yes, we lose muscle mass as we age. So if you want to put the odds in your favor to maintain as much muscle as possible, you have to make sure you have sufficient levels of vitamin D as well. Number three, nurturing mental well-being. So vitamin D plays a role in your mental health. And recent research suggests that there is a significant link between vitamin D levels and mental health. According to some studies, adequate intake of vitamin D reduces depression, seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and cognitive decline. The level of vitamin D was found to be associated with depression. And researchers have also linked vitamin D deficiency to a higher prevalence of seasonal affective disorder in areas with limited sunlight exposure. So those are those people that live in the latitude that they have little sunshine throughout the year. And I live in one of those climates. I live in an area where we don't have that many sunshine days per year. I personally take a vitamin D supplement. So I find I just do better with maintaining my levels when I actually take a vitamin D supplement. And I can maintain them in more optimal levels when I take a supplement. If I lived in a climate that really had sunshine most of the year, the majority of the year, I think I would test it. I'd try it before going on a supplement. So there are some tricks and tips and things that you can do to make sure that you maintain adequate vitamin D levels. So again, I think it's just the area that you live. But I think it is interesting, the connection with the cognitive decline. And, you know, as we age, that's always a concern for most people, at least for myself. I think of those things. I get those thoughts of, okay, what happens? My mom has dementia. Would I get dementia? So I want to do everything I can to prevent that onset. And cognitive decline and vitamin D, again, just one simple way that I can make sure that I put the odds in my favor. And if it still happens, it happens, but I at least was proactive in, one, delaying the onset, because even though I may get it, maybe I can push it to my 90s. Maybe I can push it out so that it doesn't even begin until late in life. And I get to enjoy more years with good cognitive function. So then we are on number four, and it is blood pressure control. So a review published in the Current Protein and Peptide Science suggested vitamin D could be used to treat high blood pressure, a marker of cardiovascular disease, which your blood pressure is a marker of cardiovascular disease, is what I'm saying. In the review, the authors warn that even short-term vitamin D deficiency can lead to increased blood pressure and organ damage. So again, super important to maintain optimal, or I'll say sufficient, vitamin D levels. Because what is considered normal is, I think the consensus is mixed. And the normal reference range is 30 to 100. And some practitioners, some researchers find that just being at 30, your number being 30, 31, you know, the really low 30s, is no big deal. But then when you look at some of the other studies, you flip in some of these other health conditions, they show that a little bit higher level, like in the 50s, has a little bit more protection than a 30. So for me, I kind of strive for that sweet spot of 50 and anywhere between 50 to 75. So again, probably the summer months, I can't remember my last vitamin D, but because I get it checked every year and make sure that I'm stable. So that blood lab is drawn for me annually, and you should have yours drawn annually as well. So if you haven't, make sure that you do. And you know, keeping that somewhere in that 50 to 75 seems to be a great sweet spot for people. If your lab reference range caps out at 50, what I would say is don't freak out. What we saw this occurring with certain labs in our area. They changed the reference range. It was no longer 30 to 100. They had it at, oh gosh, I can't remember the lower number, but it capped out at 50. And so then we'd all of a sudden have patients freaking out because they're like, okay, I'm toxic now. I have too much vitamin D, which is a thing. You can get too much vitamin D. Too much is bad. Too little is bad. That's why you kind of need that 30 to 100 reference range, and even a more optimal being at that 50 to 75. So again, I think work with a practitioner who understands this and who can help dial in the best number for you. They can take into account all of your health information and all the data points. So yeah, we look at your vitamin D25OH. Yes, we got to look at that. But what do we know about your genetics? Do I know that you're going to have a hard time converting the sunshine touching your skin vitamin D, activating it in your liver and kidneys, and then being converted to this active form of D? So taking, and then all of your health conditions. Do you have health conditions that are lowering that, or on you medications, those types of things? So we'll cover that in more detail. But again, I think working with someone who understands this so that you can optimize these and put you in a protection prevention mode once things are corrected. So say you have high blood pressure and your vitamin D is low. First, let's fix your vitamin D, reassess, is this helping your blood pressure, and shift if needed. According to the researchers, vitamin D supplementation therapy may offer new insights into the treatment of hypertension because vitamin D strongly correlates with hypertension. Number five, fueling sports performance. So vitamin D may also improve your performance as an exerciser. So I don't want to say athlete because people get, I guess, they shut off. I feel like your brain shuts off and you say, oh, I'm not an athlete. I don't do this for a living. I don't participate in the Olympics. I don't do those types of levels of activity. So I'm not an athlete. But really, we are athletes. Everyone is an athlete who intentionally chooses to move their body. So you have to treat it that way. So it's no different than if you had a Chevy or you had a Ferrari. Would you treat it differently? Probably. If you had a Ferrari, you probably would put different gasoline in it, maybe different oil, different types of things that go. I'm not a car person, so oil and gas, that's all I know. So you would likely choose different products for a Ferrari over a Chevy. Nothing wrong with either, but I'm just saying, if you are moving your body and intentionally exercising, prioritizing having optimal vitamin D can just make that experience better. So, we know that vitamin D plays a role in muscle function, strength, endurance, and recovery. So, this is a way to help you feel less sore after workouts, is making sure that D is more optimal. So, maybe you don't know what your vitamin D is and you start working out. You're like, okay, I'm going to start working out. And I start lifting weights or using my muscles. And you are so sore the next day after working out. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't move. Part of that puzzle piece may be that your D could be low. So get in with your doctor, get that level checked, and find out. And if it is, raise that level, get that level up and maintain it there. So that as you begin to, you know, work through your muscle soreness, it will happen less. So Vitamin D levels are positively correlated with athletic performance indicators, such as a vertical jump height and muscle power. In one study, athletes with low vitamin D levels improved their vertical jump heights and sprint times after supplementing with vitamin D. So, yeah, I get it. I'm not doing vertical jumps myself. I will tell you, in this new gym that I am working out in, it is geared for the older population. And they give you all types of options on how to do a move. So if we are doing something that you're going on the floor and getting up, you have options to jump, or you have options to step and, walk yourself down. So you have different levels of intensity that you're going to do this. And there is some jumping. I am doing some jumping, and so are these older people. So yesterday I had my morning group training session, my first one in this group. And Lord, I had lighter weights than one of the other participants, who was, I really don't know how old, but guessing, observing, had to be at least 70. And I'm like, holy crap, she is outperforming me when it comes to weights. She's lifting heavier weights than myself. So, which is a good challenge. So that is good for me to see, and a good way to challenge myself. So regardless, vitamin D plays a role in your muscles, your recovery, and your endurance, and everything involved with your body, moving your body. Number six is safeguarding respiratory health. So maintaining sufficient vitamin D levels may have a protective effect on your respiratory health. In studies, vitamin D deficiency has been associated with increased susceptibility to respiratory infections such as colds, flus, and asthma exacerbations. So this is, I don't know. I guess I'm going to tell on my daughter. One of my daughters, I won't name names, but one of my daughters doesn't like to take supplements. She just never has. So she's been awful at really maintaining her health. And she is the one who always gets sick, and she never takes vitamin D. She just literally won't take it. And she is the one that literally just this week came down with the flu. So as a parent, to me, your food, your health, your body, your movement, that type of stuff is a personal journey. I'm not going to tell you how full you are, how hungry you are. I'm not going to tell you what foods you have to eat. I'm not going to tell you what supplements I think you should take. My parenting approach, right or wrong, I'm sure people have thoughts, but I feel like it's a personal journey that they need to go on themselves and find what works for them. Just because I'm a dietitian doesn't mean that they have to follow suit in how I live my life. And I feel like at some point the connection will be there. They just need time. They need to be teenagers and young adults and live some life to see that, hey, I'm tired of getting sick all the time. Why am I the only one in the house who keeps getting all of these colds and flus and problems? So again, taking vitamin D can help protect you from that. Research suggests it improves COVID-19 outcomes if you have a vitamin D deficiency. So despite needing more research, systematic review and meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials published in the excerpt review of anti-infective therapy in 2022, found that vitamin D supplementation may protect against COVID-19 related negative outcomes, more like the long haul and just hospitalization, that type of thing. So having optimal vitamin D does help protect you from the severity of it, is what they're saying. And then an article published in the BMJ in February of 2017 found that 25 randomized controlled trials with 11,300 participants showed a 12% decrease in respiratory infection risk among people who were vitamin D deficient after taking vitamin D supplements, even though not every study showed a clear benefit. So again, consensus is not the same for vitamin D, but I think everybody can agree that that reference range 30 to 100 should be where you land. And to me, you work with a practitioner personally and you find the sweet spot that works best for you. The next one is unveiling anti-inflammatory properties. So vitamin D modulates the body's immune response and reduces chronic inflammation. And this is through its anti-inflammatory properties. So how cool, right? That vitamin D also provides anti-inflammatory properties. And these properties are relevant to managing rheumatoid arthritis and inflammatory bowel disease. Researchers have found that vitamin D deficiency increases pro-inflammatory markers. So if you have these inflammatory disease states, then staying on top of having an optimal vitamin D would be advised, and making sure that you don't dip, especially like in the winter months when you have less sunshine. Make sure that you're maintaining normal levels all year long. A study found vitamin D regulates the production of inflammatory cytokines and immune cells, which contribute to immune-related diseases. And then vitamin D supplementation may reduce disease activity in people with autoimmune disease. So again, it's just one puzzle piece. So there's not one magic pill. Just taking vitamin D is not going to fix all your health problems. It's one puzzle piece of keeping optimal health. So again, it's, you have to do, cover all the bases. And this is one way that you can do it. The next one is, it supports oral health. According to a 2020 review in Nutrients, vitamin D may lower the risk of tooth decay, cavities, gum disease, since it helps our body absorb calcium. So important piece. So you can't be vitamin D deficient and then your body maintain and keep up with the calcium that it needs for our teeth and our bones. So again, checking that vitamin D level. The next one helps fight depression, which we kind of already talked some about mental health and your mental well-being. Similar to how the sun can brighten your mood, vitamin D can do the same. Research in the Journal of Neuropsychiatry found that vitamin D deficiency is associated with depression. And researchers recommend screening and treating vitamin D deficiency in depression cases to be in a cost-effective and easy way. The next one is the genetic component. So this is where I'm going to dig a little bit into the different genes and variants that impact your ability to truly metabolize, absorb, and utilize vitamin D. Because you take enough vitamin D does not mean that your body has the ability to metabolize it and utilize it correctly. So here's where we'll get into it. So genetics play a crucial role in vitamin D metabolism. During exposure to sunlight, our skin produces vitamin D. In the liver and the kidneys, it is activated to create vitamin D3. In addition to maintaining bone health and immunity, vitamin D3 also supports hormones, glucose, and cardiovascular health. A variation in the VDR gene can affect the body's ability to absorb, metabolize, and utilize vitamin D. Therefore, this gene variation may require dietary changes and increased sun exposure. So let me go through a few of these genes. CYP2R1. So this gene converts vitamin D to its active form. And when you have certain variations, it can reduce the enzyme's capability to convert vitamin D, resulting in lower levels of active vitamin D and a potential risk of vitamin D insufficiency. A severe deficiency may cause bone softening, rickets, fractures, diabetes. Vitamin D deficiency can also affect blood pressure, immune, hormone, and depression. So all those things we've covered. So having this genetic SNP can make you more vulnerable to having vitamin D deficiency. So if you're like, okay, I'm taking vitamin D. I'm consistent. I'm taking it, but yet my vitamin D levels barely move. I cannot get my vitamin D level to get to even the sufficient range of 30 to 100 on the dose that I'm taking. This could be one reason why. Maybe you have this genetic SNP that is preventing that conversion. So the next gene is GC, and GC encodes vitamin D binding protein, which transports vitamin D and its metabolites in the body. And researchers have found that mutations in this gene are associated with lower serum vitamin D concentrations and vitamin D binding protein concentrations. And certain alleles, so if you have the C allele, increases your likelihood of vitamin D insufficiency. So again, that may mean that you have to do things differently, or you might need higher doses than most people. The next one is VDR. There's actually three different VDR SNPs, and the first one is the VDR-BSM. And this variant of VDR affects the activity of the vitamin D receptors, which play a key role in the metabolic processes. So those who have certain alleles have reduced VDR activity and are more likely to have osteoporosis, cancer, and diabetes. A low calcium intake associated with certain genotypes can accelerate bone loss in postmenopausal women with low bone density. The other one is VDR-FOK, and this one is also affects the vitamin D receptors, which is involved in various metabolic processes, and a T allele, the carriers of the T allele, this receptor is less active, and calcium absorption is not typically great. And there's an increased risk for, again, osteoporosis, osteopenia, and certain cancers. And this variant does not directly affect vitamin D levels or production, but rather its sensitivity of vitamin D receptors. And then the last VDR is the VDR-TAQ. And this one, again, is dealing with the receptors, which in women with high caffeine intake and certain genotypes is associated with lower bone density and higher bone loss. There was about 7 to 10% difference in bone density between women with the CC genotype than those with the TT genotype. However, individuals with the CC genotype may respond well to vitamin D supplementation and exhibit better baseline strength and muscle torque. So again, it goes back to understanding you, what you have to deal with because of your genetics. So think about an individual who has maybe a few of these SNPs, genetic SNPs that influence your ability to, you know, metabolize, absorb, utilize vitamin D. And when any of these are kind of getting you stuck, that's when you're more likely to have health problems. So again, it's another puzzle piece, understanding that genetic connection and how to kind of go upstream and really shift that gene so that it can perform better. And usually you got to think about this. This is having specific nutrients at certain dosing that can truly help you optimize that gene's function. So that's all we're doing. We're utilizing or isolating a certain nutrient out of food or out of a supplement to kind of go above so that we don't have that defect occurring, if that makes sense. So how can we maintain optimal vitamin D levels? So number one, get regular testing. So this is what I keep saying. You don't know. If you've never had your D tested, get your vitamin D tested. Vitamin D25OH is the correct test, not the 1.25 vitamin D. So that it's a consensus among all of the vitamin D experts is that when you want to observe your vitamin D level, you want to check the vitamin D25OH status. So the next one, two, is sun exposure. So without sunscreen, expose your skin to the sun for 10 to 30 minutes during peak UV hours. And it definitely depends on your skin type, the time of day, and the location. But talk to your healthcare professional. So this would be where you have, you know, your arms are exposed, your arms, your legs, your face, having those more of your skin exposed. 10 minutes with, you know, no clothes covering it that are, you know, have sunscreen in them as well, or sun blocking, I should say. Some clothing has some block in it. And you don't want that. You want it to be that you have more skin exposed and no sunscreen on. So for me, I don't, I get melasma and, you know, dark skin pigmentation. And I still wear sunscreen on my face and neck and chest. I always try to do that, or I'm actually trying to do better because I wasn't. I used to always wear sunscreen. And then I stopped. And then I started having big issues with melasma showing up and, you know, the skin damage from that. And so, so now I just make sure that my legs or, my arms for 10 minutes, if at lunch I can go out and eat my lunch outside, I will do that. But, you know, in the winter months, I'm not doing that. So again, that is definitely why I definitely take a supplement, because I'm going to need it. But you have to get your sun, your skin exposed to sun without clothing, without sunscreen, enough of that to really get good conversion and adequate UV sunshine. So the next one is dietary sources. So you can get vitamin D from food. It's just not a ton of foods that it's in. But you can get it from fatty fish, so salmon and mackerel. So those little cans of mackerel are great in calcium and vitamin D. And then also fortified dairy products, eggs, and mushrooms. And there's also like fortified orange juices, those types of things. Now, I'm not a big pusher of using juice, having that regularly. But if you're going to have some, if it has some vitamin D in it, even better. But I would stick to these types of foods, the mushrooms and the mackerel or salmon, and then the dairy products and eggs. And then, of course, you know, supplements, again, may be necessary. Vegan and dairy-free eaters should limit caffeine intake and consider vitamin D and calcium supplements because the caffeine does inhibit the absorption of the vitamin D. Vitamin D supplementation, you should get that dose from your dietitian or your medical provider, preferably, and really work on honing in the right dose for you. And when it comes to supplementation, I do like having vitamin D with K2 in it. MK4, MK7, or a combo of both of those vitamin Ks in them is and will help kind of optimize the absorption and utilization of not only vitamin D, but calcium, because vitamin K tells calcium where to go. So it doesn't necessarily tell vitamin D where to go, but it tells calcium where to go. And it tells calcium that, hey, we want you into the bones and the teeth and not in the arteries. So that's why having adequate, because vitamin D is going to increase calcium absorption. If you have K2 on board, again, in the MK4, MK7 type, that will help those two versions. Combo, again, you could do a combo with MK4 and MK7 of K2, but or even just MK7, will help optimize that whole package deal. So really, this is where, you know, seek professional guidance. Get input from a practitioner who knows and understands how to utilize the best forms of D for you. Because what if you are on Coumadin, warfarin, and you have to limit your vitamin K? So that's where you work with a dietitian like myself. Usually your bariatric team's dietitian would also probably be a resource. I know I did this for a patient whose vitamin K level was low and they were on Coumadin. And so I coordinated with their coag clinic, and we worked on increasing his vitamin K. Because he was so low, he had restricted it so much that he now was deficient, and that's not good either. So, cause that plays a role in their job too, on what they're trying to accomplish with his coag clinic. So this is where working with a professional is important. So if you don't know, feel free to reach out and I'd be happy to at least guide you on how to pick the right stuff. So let's wrap this up. So vitamin D's influence extends well beyond its association with calcium absorption. Aside from supporting immunity and musculoskeletal health, it also benefits mental well-being, sports performance, and respiratory health. And you can harness the full potential of vitamin D by understanding your genetic component and maintaining optimal levels. So be sure to optimize your vitamin D level for better health and well-being. And again, the Gastric Health membership is really the best place to get this guidance. So if you are seeking guidance on optimizing your nutrient levels, then check out our membership so that you have the ability to work with a professional who's been in this industry for 27 years and has a lot of experience with dealing with vitamin levels and optimizing each and every one of them. So I hope this information has provided you with maybe a new way to look at vitamin D and maybe a motivation to stay consistent with your intake. So I know it's easy to be really good with taking your vitamins or really good getting certain foods in, and then life happens and you get off task. Maybe this helpfully will be one to help remotivate you to get back to taking your supplements like you should, or getting out in the sunshine, or doing the things you need to do to really support optimal vitamin D levels. So you guys have a great week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.